Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this Monday matinee of a long weekend episode of Pop Therapy.
Who am I? Hello, everyone.
Me.
Welcome.
Bitch, I don't know how to start.
I know, I should have started. Next time.
Well, we're back. We've got quite a few hot tops to talk about this weekend because this weekend was the Kravis wedding extravaganza.
Kravis courtship.
The Kravis courtship.
Yeah. What the fuck was it?
Okay. I was looking things up and this morning and things started making a little bit more sense to me.
What do you mean?
Well, okay. So they got, Courtney and Travis got married this weekend in Positano, Italy.
Yeah.
And it was, everyone was wearing Dolce and Gabbana everything.
Wait, I thought it was Portofino.
What did I say?
Positano.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, because I just remember Kris Jenner's dress that said Portofino across her chest.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
So they're all wearing, so the wedding was everywhere. Like, pictures of the wedding were literally everywhere.
Even on the Shade Room. And I was like, what does the Shade Room care about Courtney and Travis?
Yeah. And North was posting on TikTok. Alabama Barker was posting all over Instagram. Like, it was no holds barred for putting this content out there. Like, it was a very public affair, notwithstanding that it looked like a very short guest list. Mm-hmm. But they were all wearing Dolce and Gabbana looks all
Dolce
weekend.
Dolce and Gabbana. Fendi and Madonna. Did you say Mimi?
I don't know what the lyrics are.
Fendi and Madonna.
It's close. You know those words that you just sing along and no one ever calls you out? Because they respect you.
I'm gonna call you out.
Anyways, so they're all wearing these looks. And every time I saw a new picture of them, I'm like, what in the F are they wearing?
Dolce and Gabbana.
I know, but it just looked weird.
It looked like Ed Hardy threw up everywhere.
Oh, I'm just not.
Do you remember Ed Hardy?
Fan. Yeah. The jeans?
Yeah. But that was like at the same time that monkey brand came out. Do you remember Frank? I don't know. Everyone wanted those PJs and Ed Hardy shirts.
No, but I remember the Ed Hardy shirt era.
Ugh, gross.
I'm just not a fan of Dolce & Gabbana, and I didn't understand it. And I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized that maybe everyone else already realized this, is that the wedding actually took place at Villa Olivetta, a home on the estate of Domenico Dolce and Stefano Gabbana. So it was at their house.
Okay.
Which then it made sense why they're all wearing Dolce and Gabbana all weekend.
But why was it at their house?
I don't know.
What do they have to do with Dolce and Gabbana?
I think it's just like they were having their moment to have them wear all of their clothes. And it was like a publis? I don't know.
I'm just surprised Hot Topic didn't sponsor it. or West 49. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then I was reading that because people were all saying, oh, this is like a sponsored wedding. And Dolce and Gabbana were like, no, it's not a sponsored wedding. We're just like hosting this affair. And as part of it.
Sponsored.
Yeah. Like, it's clearly.
Designed all the outfits.
An advertising campaign. Mm-hmm. But they were all like historical outfits. So like Kendall's was from like the 90s. So that when I started looking this all up, I was like, okay, this makes a lot more sense because all of the looks were like old Dolce & Gabbana from 1990s, the 2000s, like all these iconic looks they had on their runway shows, except for Courtney's wedding dress was actually designed specifically for her.
The white one.
The white one. I'm not sure. Maybe the black one as well. They looked the same except for...
You saw the one that Kim wore in 2017 that looked like Courtney's black dress?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, I'll find it for you. But anyway, go on.
They look the same?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, we're wearing all these looks, and I just want to know, who was your favorite look?
Kim, and then Chloe, and then Kylie.
But which one of Kim's?
I really like the one that she wore on the boat with the turtleneck, the lace turtleneck long dress. She had her super blonde hair up, and then she wore a big green statement necklace. I thought it really worked for her.
Yes, she had the most kind of normalish looks.
See,
oh yeah, it does look exactly the same with the same circle thing. Literally, that the circle patch on Courtney's black wedding dress looks like it was just printed off of clip art and then
ironed on.
Yeah.
Using a kit from Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated. almost everybody's looks except for, I thought Rain looked great.
In the bow tie suit, the black
with
one.
With the shorts.
Yeah, he looked really cute.
He looked stunning.
Yeah.
I liked stunning. His look. Okay. I also liked Chris's, she wore like a really feathery outfit to the actual wedding, like a pink feathery outfit. Oh, when she
walked her down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
I thought that was good. And then I pretty much hated everybody else's.
Even Kim?
Well, I just thought, see, the thing with Kim's is I liked them because they actually looked normal. Like her gray, the gray, like really plain one, mm-hmm. she looked amazing in. The other gray one that looked a lot, like it was like a bodycon kind of suit, I mm-hmm. thought it didn't fit her right.
Oh, in the reception?
Like I can't remember.
The sparkly one?
No. This one was like a plain gray all over jumpsuit kind of look.
Okay.
And I didn't think that one fit her well.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
For the wedding, she wore that kind of black sheer and then like sparkly hot pants and top, I think.
Yeah.
Right? With the and then
that's
she had
the one that I was talking about. Yeah, I liked that.
I liked that. But part of me was just like, well, if you're going to be wearing Dolce & Gabbana, like go all in, you know? Like I feel like she almost looked out of place because everybody else looked so bizarre and she actually looked chic in her D&G.
Yeah.
I hated Chloe's crown.
Yeah, what was that?
She looked like Lady Liberty.
Yeah, she looked like she was trying to, she was like a knockoff version of Blake Lively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good call for that Met Gala look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at Courtney's story, and it seems like she's taking his name. So she's KKB now.
Really?
Courtney Kardashian Barker.
On Instagram?
No, I don't know what it is. She hasn't changed her Insta name yet.
Oh, her like what's that called? Monograms?
I don't know.
When you get like your initials sewed on things?
No Anyways. Idea.
That would make sense.
The biggest shock to me was the fact that there was so much debate on how to spell veil in the comments.
Really?
Like people would be that. Like V-A-L-E.
No.
It's V-E-I-L. Google is your friend. What is V-A-L-E? Like a
isn't
university?
That a place? Like Vail, isn't a Vail a place like a mountain town in like Colorado I think so. Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's V-E-I-L people.
Yeah. So her Vail, speaking of.
Yeah. Did you like it?
No.
I did not either.
So her Vail had a design that was the same tattoo as is on his like skull.
Yeah. His
Travis
head.
Barker's head.
Yeah.
And it's the same woman, and then it's like underneath she had what was it, family, loyalty, respect, which just reminded me of like I was driving here and I saw a cop car and it was like vigilance. It was like three words and I was like, oh, that's where she must have been inspired.
She must have been at the wedding. Yeah. A cop from Calgary.
Yeah.
I hated everything about it.
Yeah,
I really did.
And so I was looking also at the guest list. It seemed like it was basically just the Kardashian family, the Barker family, plus the other guy, Mark from Blink-182 band.
Oh, okay.
And then MGK and Megan Fox, which is like, what the fuck?
That friendship's not going to last.
Why are they there? Like, literally, it seemed like nobody was there, but somehow they got the invite.
It seemed like it was their wedding.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was for, like, I don't know.
I just didn't think they're actually legitimately that good of friends for them to be basically the only friends that were invited.
Yeah, because I think the rest were just their stylist and makeup artist.
Yeah. Like, so what is Steph Shep? She is...
She's just a really good friend now.
Okay,
she's
so
no
she
longer...
was there and yeah. Simon Huck
mm-hmm.
and his husband, I think.
Yeah, I think they're married now.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the only plus ones. Like, I didn't... Like, Food God wasn't there, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, Food God wasn't there.
Yeah, but I guess he's more close with Kim, I think, than he is with Courtney.
Yeah. Also, I think it was just North from Kim's kids.
Yeah.
I didn't see True.
No, I saw Stormy. She looked cute.
Yeah. I didn't see Wolf or Travis Scott or Tristan.
No. And Kanye obviously wasn't there. None of their other kids. Scott Disick was not there.
Yeah, I was getting to that, but I don't think that MJ was even there.
Oh, no, but I think that's why she went to, like, the courtship wedding was probably
that
because she couldn't
sense.
Travel. Because
it was her
and then someone on Travis's side, like his mom or his grandma or something, were the only two people at their, like, courthouse wedding.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Scott wasn't there. I saw paparazzi pictures of him, like, hanging out with his girlfriend or some girl just out.
Yeah, saw he was going to a beach.
Yeah, he was in a hoodie. Meanwhile, Courtney was in lingerie.
Yeah.
For her wedding.
I mean, I get it. I like wouldn't want to be muting myself at my wedding because my ex is there.
Yeah.
Especially because it seems so fresh. Like, I know we're watching it all now in Kardashians, and that obviously happened months ago. But still, yeah. I feel like it's relatively fresh that things are still not sorted between the two of them.
For sure. Do you think if it wasn't Travis Barker, if it was someone else, he would have been invited?
I don't know. I don't really think so.
Because I don't think their love would have been this showy.
Yeah, that's true. It might have been more comfortable for him and her.
Yeah. But how long do you see this marriage going?
I think they're going to go to the distance, honestly.
Same.
Yeah.
I really do. Did you see Travis Barker's house in Arc Digest?
No.
It's nice.
Really?
It does not match what he wears, that's for sure. Like, it wasn't goth at all. It was pretty modern.
Hmm.
Really nicely decorated.
Well, when they had that dinner scene, was it in the last episode of the Kardashians where they had the dinner? I wonder, was that at Courtney's house or at his house?
Oh, I don't know. I'm blanking. Because
it looked pretty like white and bright and airy.
I think that was his house because I did see a clip from his house tour. And it was this big square table where there's two people at the head.
Okay.
Is that the same table?
I don't know.
But anyway, basically Courtney and Travis sit at the head and everyone has their designated spot. Mason is like on the far right corner at the end. And then the person sitting next to Courtney on her left is Penelope. Oh. I think they're really cute.
Yeah.
Penelope and Courtney.
Well, that's exciting. I saw that, I think you sent me the clip of the aerial locations of all their houses.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually really interesting.
It was, wasn't it?
Because Courtney and Travis's houses are so, they always say they're so close, but they're like legit so close.
They make it sound like they live down the street or like across the street from one another.
There are no streets up in like the hills where they live. It's like.
Oh, speaking of, did you hear that Kim bought the house next to her?
Really?
Like in between her and Kanye?
Really?
Apparently she bought it for like $800,000 over the asking price. So she got it for 6.3.
Just so that no one is in between them?
I think so.
Hmm.
Obviously, I don't think you read the comments as often as I do.
I never read the comments.
I read the comments and I knew what it was going to say. Like, they said stupid shit. Like, Kim is trying to, like, really keep Kanye away from the family. And they want it to be like a center point house for dropping off the kids so they don't have to interact, or like it's going to be Pete's house, but it's like she just wants privacy.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, like,
and why? I had the money and I was that famous, I would buy a house next to me too.
Well, people always do that. Like, they'll buy the house right in front of them or right behind them so that no one can see into their yard. Like, that's a super common thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or maybe they want to expand someday, or maybe they want to save it for one of their kids. Like, it all makes sense. I don't think it's for any of the reasons.
And what I hate about them is, like, this is, the comments are like, this is what greed does to you, this is what money does. But it's like, you're forgetting all the other shit they do for humanitarian purposes. So please, just cut it off.
Yeah, well, they don't educate themselves about those things.
No. So there was a clip of Courtney at the reception with Travis. I almost said Kravis. And I asked if you thought it was a baby bump or like maybe just hormonal weight gain because of IVF. And I didn't find any footage of her drinking or refusing alcohol, so cannot confirm.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like to comment just in case, you know. But the timing, like, I mean, it would make sense because in the show we're watching now, they're trying to have an embryo and then they got married really fast.
Well, that's the only reason I am commenting on it, because like they are trying for that baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder.
Yeah. And they like, this wedding did seem to come up quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chris predicted it on the show, like, that she thought they were going to get married really fast, and they did.
Yeah. And I think it did matter to Courtney and Travis to get married before baby.
Yeah.
Not sure why, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Because it definitely didn't matter for Courtney with Scott.
Yeah. Well, she didn't want to get married then.
Yeah.
So.
Or ever to him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is that everything from the wedding?
Yeah.
So in kind of Kardashian adjacent news, there was rumors speculating last week, I think we touched on them, or maybe we just talked about it, you and I, that Pete was maybe going to leave SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's official, he is leaving, or has left, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night was SNL's season finale. And
season is this, like 48?
Well, I don't know. It's been on forever.
Jeez.
And I actually watched the episode. So four main cast members are leaving. Pete Davidson.
That's a lot.
Kate McKinnon, Adi Bryant, and Kyle Mooney.
I like Kate McKinnon and Adi Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, the show, like, SNL is not good.
No.
It's not good. I never laugh.
They try to save it with, like, super popular celebrities, but it's just not good.
No. Like, I like Weekend Update still. I still get it. Like, yeah. I think that's the only time I actually laugh during the entire show. I think all the rest of the skits are, like, almost 90% misses.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, there'll be something that's kind of funny, but very rarely. So they had their, each of them except for Kyle Mooney, unless I missed it, had like their own like individual send off.
Okay.
So at the beginning, like they did the opening scene. And do you ever watch SNL?
Only when Kim's on it.
Okay. So you wouldn't have seen it. So there was, you wouldn't have seen this. So Ryan Gosling was on once and he did a skit with Kate McKinnon and Cecily Strong. And they were like these three people who got abducted by aliens and they were telling about their experience and like
that already sounds really lame.
Well, Ryan Gosling broke character and it was actually really funny. Like he could not stop laughing. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time they ever did it. And so the basic premise of the skit is like these two people had this like awesome experience. The aliens were so nice to them, and then Kate McKinnon gets like attacked and they do all these weird things to her, and it is funny. It was funny the first time, but then they've done it two more times. This last episode being the third time. Mm-hmm. So they did that skit again. And then the end sequence was like, oh, the aliens have to take one of you away. And she's like, okay, I'll go. And then it was like her send off. Oh. And she got pretty like emotional. It was sweet. So she basically said like, goodbye. Thanks for having me. It's been a great however many years here on Earth, so to speak. So it was a nice little send off. And then during Weekend Update, both Pete and Adi came in and did a skit. Well, Pete basically just did a stand-up routine as he usually does as himself.
Yeah.
But he kept on like flubbing his lines. I don't know. Didn't seem like he practiced very much.
Well, what I read from whatever you sent me was that he hasn't even like been on the past 7 or 8 episodes. And if you go back to like the whole thing with Kim, he didn't show up to practice all week. So yeah. I think he was just pretty checked out. And what it said that you sent me was like, that kind of sketch comedy is not his thing. Like he does primarily stand up.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really jiving for him.
And even like in his Weekend Update skit this last time, or stand up, I guess, he said that he was like, you know, when I first did my audition with Lorne, at the end of my audition, he's like, you're absolutely not right for the show, but let's give it a go. and he's like, and we did. But basically that's all he did. Like he was never really, he had his like digital shorts. He did a lot of those in the last like 4 or 5 seasons where he'd do like a video.
Okay.
Like a song. And those are funny, or else he'd just be on Weekend Update as himself. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't really into many of the actual skits.
Right.
So yeah, he wasn't a main character for sure. And he would only show up like a few times a season, it seemed.
Yeah. As soon as I caught wind of that news that he was leaving, I was just like, man, this is going to be attributed to the Kardashians. And it was. Like, people were saying, oh, Kris Jenner has other plans for him. SNL is not on brand with the Kardashians. And I was like, get over yourself. Like, first of all, he's been there for 8 years. Like, his time is done. He hasn't been showing up, like we just said. It's not his type of thing. But also, he's, like, getting into movies now, into shows. Like,
he just bought a boat.
Oh, really?
Well, he bought a boat with Colin Jost that they're going to, like, drive along Staten Island and do, like, a comedy show or something.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah. Kind of, like, coffee with whatever.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to be filmed. Did. I think it's, like, their little side project.
Okay. Interesting. Why wouldn't that be filmed? What is that for? Anyway. Super weird. I'm still trying to process that. But like he's not the first person to do this. Like people get their big acting break on SNL and they move on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. But what are they trying to, like, that doesn't even make sense that it's not on brand for them. Like did they watch the episode of the Kardashians, the 4 episodes that focused on SNL and how excited everyone was about that?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm tired of people. I hate it here. So yeah, well, good luck to everyone.
Yeah, they do have some new on SNL. They do have a few like new people who I think are actually really strong. Like Bowen Yang has been on the last few seasons. He's really funny. Chloe Fineman has also been on. She's like,
I have no idea who these people are.
Well, anyways, they've got some up-and-comers who have promise, so.
Okay, well, do you think that show's going to go on forever and ever and ever?
I kind of feel like it's a staple. Like, even though it's been bad, it's definitely not how it used to be. But then I always think about this, because when all, like, kind of the big names were on it, like, probably, like, Maya Rudolph, Jimmy Fallon, Kristen Wiig, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. Kristen Wiig
was my favorite.
Yeah, when all those people were on there. I wonder when people were watching it back in the day if they were like, this is actually funny, or if now it's just like funny in comparison to like the shitty skits that we're getting now.
Hmm. Good question.
Or if they just pick out like the best and those are the ones that we see. Because like I wasn't watching SNL at the time all those people were on.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought like Mad TV was my favorite back in the day. Mad TV ended and then there was like Living in Color. That was all. Do you remember Living in Color?
No.
Did you ever watch Mad TV?
I didn't really have cable.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at me like you need me to rescue you. It's kind of scary. Oh, well, anyway, those were like bigger than or as big as SNL, and they're done. So maybe SNL is just like it will be done.
Well, I feel like when Lorne Michaels passes away,
how old is he?
That'll be the end. I don't know. He's got to be pretty old. Like, hasn't he been there forever? Like, he looks like he's in his late 60s.
I actually have no idea what he looks like.
Maybe 70s? I don't know. He's an old white man.
Classic.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
All right. So now we'll get into some Bravo news.
So Erica Jayne and Christine Quinn were on Watch What Happens Live this week. I think it was like Thursday. And it was interesting to see because Erica was kind of like, it was almost like she was trying to be someone who took Christine under her wing. And they're just like both these villains. Mm-hmm. And Erica just felt like she had backup with Christine. It was weird. A weird dynamic. Anyway, Erica threw a lot of shade at like Garcelle and Sutton. And I don't know if it's like real shade or if she's promoting the show. That's what I hate about it.
I hate Erica, period.
I hate Erica too, especially in this episode, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But they did this thing where it was Versace or Hibachi about people's confessional looks on The Real Housewives, and Garcelle's like white look came up, and Erica was just like, take it away, honey, to Christine. And Christine was like, no, you go. And Andy was like, Erica, we want to know your answer. And she's like, nope, I'm passing the torch over to Christine. It was like, you literally just answered 10 people before this, just answer about Garcelle.
Yeah.
So then Christine's like, yeah, I like it. And then Erica was like, throw it on the flames.
What the hell?
Hibachi.
Oh my gosh.
She's yeah, such a loser. Stupid. And then Andy, someone asked Erica, do you regret throwing Garcelle's book in the garbage? And she's like, no. No. What do I have to regret about that? You know, first there was the unfollow from her, and then this, and then that. And it's like, how petty can you be? Like, she unfollowed you. You went and threw her book in the trash.
Because you're a horrible person. Like,
truly.
I don't understand why she thinks people would want to be friends with her or kind to
truly.
Her. She's so out of control.
And then there was something about, I don't know, money. And it was just like, you literally have no remorse for any of the victims.
No, not at all.
Whose money you used.
No, not at all. I don't understand how she still got money to date.
Same.
Like, how much is she getting paid on The Housewives?
I don't know. But that was it.
So, speaking of Christine Quinn, you told me to listen to Call Her Daddy because she was on Call Her Daddy. Mm-hmm. I want to know your thoughts first.
Well, I already know your thoughts.
But they sort of evolved as I kept listening. That was like 15 minutes
I know. I texted you. Okay. Laura sent me a message being like, I'm not believing a single word on this podcast. And I thought to myself, I was like, she's probably only 15 minutes in because I felt the same way.
Okay.
So I just sent you like the shrugging emoji.
Yeah.
And then I thought that like if I was right about you not being far into it, you would message me after and be like, okay, I listened more, but I didn't hear from you.
No, I figured we'd talk about it on the pod.
Yeah. So yeah, the first 15 minutes I was like, oh my God, like this is Christine putting on an act, blah, blah, blah.
So contrived. Like yeah. She was, her voice was.
Drink.
Yeah. Her voice was different.
It
her
was demeanor different.
Was like, it was coming across. Oh,
did you watch it?
Well, it was, I watched pieces of it. Mm-hmm. Like I had it playing on Spotify and they had the video there. Yeah. So I looked at it occasionally. But just everything about it came across so fake. Mm-hmm. Like, so contrived. There's no better word for it.
Yeah.
Calculated. And I don't even, so at the beginning, in the when the 15 minutes, so that was when she was talking about her childhood and her, like, evolution. And then she was talking about being pressured to come back to the show right after she had given birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was like, this woman comes across and holds herself as such, like, a strong, don't fuck with me kind of person.
Yeah.
I run the world. I control my own life. I do what I want. It was very, like, perplexing to me that she was saying that she was forced to come back to work too early after giving birth. Yeah. I just didn't really buy that. I'm like, I feel like that was a choice you made. And now, obviously, the entire episode was her, like, trashing the shit out of Selling Sunset, its director, everything about it. Like, she was coming yeah. for them hard.
I just wonder how that works. Like, was she going to get sued?
100%. I feel like she's for sure going to get sued.
Don't they sign, like, an NDA about the show?
I don't know if it's an NDA. Like, she certainly can speak facts. But some of the stuff that she was saying was, like, I don't know. I guess it's like, slander. What's the phrase? Like, how the cookies are made or how the sauce is made? Like, behind
you're asking
the scenes.
Me?
You're the worst at phrases.
I don't. It's long COVID. It's not me being an idiot.
Well, she was basically divulging, like, how the show was made and everything about it, which people do all the time. So I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But she was saying some, like, pretty egregious allegations, which may be true. In which case, like, I don't know if she's going to get sued for defamation or something, because she can't if they're true. But she was saying a lot of things about Adam DeVello. Is that the director of it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's either DeVello or Lavello, something like that.
Yeah. So she was...
He's a director of The Hills as well.
Right. So they're speaking about that. And I think I missed the part because I couldn't remember if she was talking about The Hills and things that Heidi had told her or if she's talking about Selling Sunset, because she was saying that there were, like, sexual assault allegations against him.
That was on The Hills for sure. Like, that's known.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Selling Sunset, but she did mention how he wasn't allowed on set.
Right. And he wasn't allowed to, like, be around the women.
Yeah, because he made advances or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, that was Selling Sunset.
Yeah. But that happened on The Hills too.
Mm-hmm. But, like, some of the stuff was, so she was talking about how there's, like, Franken clips and, like, people were taking bites here and putting in conversations and, like, oh, mm-hmm. that never happened. Like, we know that's how reality shows are made. Like, mm-hmm. that is so common for people to take what you said and twist it and put it in a different scene. It's like everyone who watches reality TV knows that that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And she was speaking of it as if it was, like, groundbreaking news. Like, can you believe they did this?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's how reality TV shows are made. That's kind of what you sign up for.
Well, she brought up a lot of stuff that happened to Spencer Pratt in The Hills and how, like, I forget what happened in The Hills, but he was apparently caught cheating at a club or whatever, but it was a different clip. And then she used that to sort of bolster what she was saying about what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she gave some sort of evidence to the host.
Because she played two clips, like the clip of the conversation that she had with Heather that was, like, the actual conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And then the clip that was in the show. Oh, yeah, I did
say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was basically a difference between her saying that Jason doesn't have good taste in women versus her saying that Chrishell cheated on her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, Franken-bited it so that it sounded like she was saying
that. I do believe that.
Do you believe what?
That happened with her.
Oh,
with
for
that
sure.
Clip.
For sure.
Well, she was saying that, like, they put you in a room to film something for 3 hours and they don't let you leave until you say a certain line that's going to cause drama. And then by the end of it, you're like, okay, fine, I'll say it.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I feel like that happens all the time too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just part of reality TV. And it just seemed like she wasn't complaining until it went too far or till she got sick of it, because that's probably what's been happening all 4 seasons before this one.
Well, and now then, she has a kid, so she's worried about that.
Yeah, and I think she just, like, decided not to play it anymore. But I think for 4 seasons, when it was working for her, when she was getting famous, when there was no real consequences, she's like, sure, I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll mm-hmm. be the villain. Pay me the most amount of money out of all of us, and I'll take this role on. I'm happy to do that. And then now, this season, when they like don't want her anymore, I guess, on the show. Yeah. Now she's spilling the tea, and now she's saying how upset she is about it all.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really sound like she was that upset. She was, but it could have been like a guard that she put up, the way she was delivering the info.
Yeah, like it sounded like she was pissed, certainly about the bribing storyline. She basically said like that never happened and that was all fake. I was never invited to the office to have that interview at the end. I had told them that I was leaving the show to have my own brokerage, and so like make what you want about that in terms of a storyline.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I can understand being upset by that because it's like attacking her credibility as a real estate agent with this kind of narrative out there that she bribes her clients.
Mm-hmm. She said that they show up to set together, so she'll show up with Chelsea and Vanessa, her best friends, and they'll separate them into rooms and they'll be like, oh, did you hear that so-and-so said this about you, or so-and-so said that, to like create drama and film the scene. And she's like, I've been on the show for so long, so I know what it's about, but these newbies don't. And okay, that's fine, but then what about like Chriselle, Heather, Mary, all of them? Don't they understand that that's what's going on? That was one part that I was a little iffy about.
You mean, and so if they knew what was going on, why would they have so much animosity towards Christine?
Yeah.
I think they're playing into the show just like she was. Mm. Like, she is the villain, so therefore the storyline is Christine's the villain. We're going to play into that. Mm. Who knows if they actually feel like that in their real lives, but I also feel like because Christine did so many things and put so much information out there in articles and press and stuff about them that wasn't, like, connected to filming.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also why a lot of the women have animosity towards her, because it went beyond her like role as the villain of a show and carried out into like their normal lives.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. So she is coming back for season 6.
She is.
Yeah.
Interesting. It just, I don't understand.
Well, she just said that they're going to have to get creative.
Right. But like after this kind of interview,
that's the thing. Like, I think she's just gonna get sued and kicked out.
Yeah, I can't see her coming back on the show for this, unless this is all part of it.
That's a really big scheme.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Kris not like Jenner her, vibes.
Yeah, maybe it's all part of it.
It's not Kris Jenner though. We love you, Kris.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was an interesting interview.
Yeah, I found it insightful.
Yeah, I just found it contrived.
Okay,
moving over to Bachelor news. So I don't know if you watched any of her seasons. So Becca,
I didn't, but I did see this on TikTok.
Yeah, so Becca Tilly was first on Chris the Farmer's season. She made it to like the final two.
Okay.
And then she came back for Ben Higgins' season. Mm. And she made it pretty far. I think she made it to like final 5 or 6. And then she went off the show and she's now got a podcast called Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad, her friend, mm-hmm. who's on like On Air with Ryan. And they've been doing that ever since the show. And I listened to that podcast. So throughout the podcast, they've got nicknames for their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
And her nickname for her significant other is 95P, because she was like 95% sure she was going to marry them. Uh-huh. And throughout the podcast, they always just call their significant others by these nicknames. So she's always referred to them as 95P. She's never used pronouns ever.
Mm-hmm.
So for the longest time, there's been speculation like in their podcast group and everywhere that it's that she's dating Hailey Kiyoko.
I think it's Kiyoko.
Kiyoko. So she's like a pop star. Because she would talk about her. It was so funny because she'd talk about her as like, oh, I was with Haley, I was doing this. But then she'd also refer to a 95P. So it was like unclear if they were the same, one and the same. But everyone thought that it was Haley. And so finally, this past weekend, Becca confirmed that she's been dating Haley for 4 years in a really, really sweet Instagram reel.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've watched like 100 times because it's just so cute. They look super happy together.
So it was Haley's release party, or it was Becca's?
Well, it was, so as Haley had a song coming out called For the Girls, uh-huh. which is actually a really good song. I like it.
I'll have to check it out.
And so the show, like the music video for that song was like a gay bachelorette situation where Haley was the bachelorette and she was gay. So all the contestants were women. And at the very end, like, very, very end of that music video, Becca Tilly comes out of the limo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, so it was her release party for that song, that it was that night that Becca announced it, the same time that the video came out.
This is 4 or 5 years later?
4 years later. They've been dating for four years. And it's actually incredible because while there's been all this speculation, they haven't been like dating in secret. Like all of her friends, all of her family, everyone connected to them knows, but no one's ever come out and like did an interview and confirmed it. Like it's actually been pretty unreal how, because she is a public figure. Like she's got like over a million Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. Haley has like 2 million Instagram followers. So there's these public figures, but everyone close to them has like kept this under wraps for them so they could come out in their own time. Mm-hmm. Because obviously Beck has never announced that she's whatever she is, that she's been into men before. Now she's into women. Who knows what her sexuality is, but she's never spoken on it publicly.
Right.
So it's just really nice that everyone around her has protected that for her and allowed her to announce it on her own time.
Well, I'm surprised that like if she is that famous, then haven't there been like paparazzi shots of them kissing in public?
Not that I've seen, and I've Googled it.
Wow.
A lot.
That is skill. That's like Jennifer Aniston level.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she's the type of famous that would be paparazzi'd, but certainly like they've been out and about, like they've taken a million trips together. Mm-hmm. And there's, and even like in our Facebook group, there's never been someone who's posted like, I saw them this weekend doing XYZ.
Yeah.
And it's never been like confirmed through a video or a photo.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, so anyways, she seems really happy, so happy for them.
95P is now Hayley Kiyoko.
Mm-hmm. Now we know.
Now we know. Is that it for Batch News?
Yep.
Well, lastly, Rihanna and ASAP welcomed a baby girl.
Okay, so you put BBG, and I was like, was it a girl? I didn't know it was a girl. I thought it was a boy.
BBG.
I know. Baby girl. I get baby girl, but I for some reason thought it was a boy, and I was like, I don't know why she put that.
No, it was a girl. She gave birth to a queen.
Nice.
I don't think we have a name yet.
No. Well, we still don't know what Kylie's baby name is.
Oh, yeah. True. What did we say that we Knight. Heard it was? Knight. Yeah. Okay, it's long COVID really getting me. Yeah, we don't have a name for them yet, but I think ASAP like proposed to Rihanna in a music video or something like that. Super tacky. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be getting married.
Oh, so they are engaged?
I think so. But okay. ASAP did talk about how like he's in it for the long run with her.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a mistake if he wasn't. No, but kidding. I don't trust him. I do not trust him.
Yeah.
And that's it for Hot Tops.
All right, well, should we get into our next segment, Pitch or Ditch Bitch?
Yeah. So for Pitch or Ditch, it's my turn. I want to start by saying I tried The Wilds.
Hated it, didn't
you? Did not like it. And I really, really wanted to because I always like everything you recommend. So I was like, no, Shereen, you're just in the wrong mindset, like gaslighting myself. But I didn't like it.
Okay, that's fair. At least you tried.
Yeah, at least I tried.
Feels like a personal attack.
It is. Okay, so but I will say that I'm in like a really weird phase with TV right now. Like I tried so many shows this weekend. I tried Hacks. I love that for you. Love on the Spectrum, which I normally really like. First Lady and The Wilds, and I couldn't really get into any of them. So I think I'm in a weird spot, but I do think I won't get like The Wilds.
Yeah, that's fair. It's funny that you say that because I feel that I've been in that same funk for like years.
Yeah.
That really the only TV that I actually like is reality TV.
I know, but I couldn't even start anything reality.
Yeah.
Based.
Yes. Yeah, I never have a problem with new reality shows.
Because there was one that I was going to start. Oh, The Challenge. By the way, we need to talk about The Challenge because I've tried logging into Paramount Plus and nothing's working.
Oh.
Like my login and your login.
Oh.
Yeah.
On Apple?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll figure out this offline.
So I was going to start by pitching Hacks on Crave, but then I stopped watching it. I watched almost a season.
Okay.
But now I'm on I Love That For You.
So I watched the first like 20 minutes of the first episode of that.
So maybe you want to do that next week?
Well, no, okay. It's a ditch for me. I'm not going back to it.
So I think these are all ditches for me too.
Okay.
Hacks was pretty promising in the beginning. It seemed funny, but then the story gets kind of repetitive and doesn't really move forward. So it's about this like legendary comedian. She's like 60 or 70 years old and she has this gig in Las Vegas, but she's starting to not be relevant anymore. And then this outcast like entitled 25-year-old writer gets paired with her and is like, she's losing her job. So her manager is like, okay, go write jokes for this woman. And obviously the woman doesn't want this girl to write jokes for her. But then it slowly, you can kind of tell where it's going. Yeah. Turns into this odd friendship, whatever.
Yeah.
Or mentorship. And yeah, that's really all it is. And it starts by like the comedian not using any of her jokes, making her work for it. And honestly, the 25-year-old is not funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it funny, the no, show?
It's not. Mm. It just, it's not. So I got to episode 7 and I was like, fuck this.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. It ended up becoming background noise. Same thing happened with First Lady on Crave. And I Love That For You is about this girl who had like leukemia when she was younger. And she used to watch the Home Channel a lot in the hospital. And then she like wanted to be on the Home Channel herself. And she looked up to one of the sellers, Joan or something.
Okay, but what's the starring actress? She used to be on SNL. What's her name?
Yeah, her name is Vanessa Bayer.
Vanessa Bayer, yeah. So
and it then looked, Molly Shannon.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be funny because those two women are very funny. Mm-hmm. And so I started watching it, but it was like very slow, I found.
It is very slow. And it's also frustrating because like, why don't you want to tell people that you had this in the past and now you're using it as a lie that you have it now? I don't know. It's like you're really reaching for a storyline here, like okay, the show in general.
So I didn't get to that part where she was using that as this like a, that is happening to her right now.
Yeah, because they're about to fire her and then she's like, wait, I have cancer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So both are ditches for me.
Yeah. And it's funny because I did try Hacks too.
Oh, yeah.
And I also didn't even make it through the first episode.
No, a lot of background noise.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Broad City?
No. What's that?
I think you might like it.
Is it reality?
No, but it's like a sitcom-y type show. It's so funny. Like,
really?
So funny.
Okay.
You know, okay, the chick that was on, oh my gosh, I'm blanking, Apple TV Dinner Party? Or what was that show
After you just Party?
Watched? After Party.
Zoe?
No, no. The one who was like, had the really curly hair and she was the party girl.
I know what you're talking about. And then like, what's his face?
What the hell is her name? It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, she is in the show. It's about her. It's a show about her.
Alana Glazer.
Yeah. So it's a show about her and her best friend. They live in New York and they're like broke. And it's like all their hijinks. And they're so funny. Like I like LOL'd at a lot of different episodes.
Really?
Yeah. And there's I think 5 or 6 seasons. It's so funny.
I'll have to try.
Yeah. I think it's on Crave. Okay. That's where I watched it and I binged like all 5 seasons.
Okay. I really do want to get into the challenge.
Yeah. I just don't think this is the right challenge actually for you to get into. I think you need to go when the new season of the like OG challenge is out. You need to get into that.
Okay. Well, until then, I will stay stuck in this limbo.
Okay. Better luck next week. Right. All right. Let's get into our TV recap.
So it was Kardashians episode 6.
And you said this was one of your favorite episodes you've ever seen?
Of the Kardashians franchise, yeah. I just think it, okay, I got emotional many times throughout the episode.
It was very sad, very touching.
It was sad, but then like, so this episode was mainly about Kim and her
prisoner form.
Embarking on law school, taking on that challenge because she wants to help people with prison reform and criminal justice. And they show her trying to get, shoot, I'm blanking, what was his name, the first
Jones
one? The first one,
I thought it was Jones something, I can't remember.
He ended up being executed.
Yeah, so he's on death row and she was advocating to get him off death row. I think I'm gonna get them mixed up because one of the storylines was a guy who had allegedly committed a crime when he was 18 and had been in jail for like 30 or some years and maintaining his innocence the entire time.
Yeah.
And she was trying to get him off death row, but that ended up not working.
Yeah.
And so they showed like his very last phone call, they said, was to Kim.
As soon as I see Kim cry, I start to cry.
Yeah.
Because, like, it takes a lot for her to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But also just the fact that she was his last phone call.
I know. That makes me really sad. And it's kind of perplexing. Like, I wonder if he had family or if, like, he was on his own and she was the only one helping him out.
But I think it does go to show like how involved she truly gets with people she tries to help.
Totally.
Like, it's not a thing that she just posts on Twitter. Like, she gets to know these people. She does everything she possibly can. And that's what we saw in this episode. And I wish like all the haters watched it.
Yeah. So not the next... Sorry, go ahead.
Not just for like seeing what Kim does, but like seeing that this is an issue that people overlook, I think.
Yeah, she's shedding a lot of light on it. And it was really amazing to see, because the other person that they focused on, I don't know their name either. I probably should have looked that
up. I'm trying to look it up. Anyway. Brandon was the one that got executed.
Okay.
And then Julius Jones is the one that got saved.
Right. Okay. So Julius Jones, it was showing her campaign to get him off death row. And it seemed like everything happened like extremely fast. Like, don't people sit on death row forever and then do they just randomly drop an execution date?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's how it seemed, because it seemed within basically 2 or 3 days, Kim and her team like activated to try to get him off death row. And it was like all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And so they were showing her and I don't know who she
Scott
was working
Budnick.
With. Scott Budnick.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, they were sitting in front of a whiteboard and it was just a whiteboard list of celebrity names. Mm-hmm. And they would just like check off every time someone like tweeted or mentioned it on a show or put out a video.
And she was like sending voice notes to these celebs. And I was just like, imagine.
Yeah.
You just get a voice note from Kim one day.
Yeah.
She said that thing where she was like, all these NBA players probably think I'm reaching out because I want to hook up with them.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, girl.
But it was amazing, like her connection. Like she's just texting up Gwyneth Paltrow.
Like that's a celebrity using her fame properly, I think.
No, for sure. She's using it for good.
Yeah. So one thing that I found was that she's so much more articulate when she's talking about law and criminal reform or prison reform or whatever. Well, that shouldn't be a whatever, but it's like you can tell that she's so passionate about it and really looks into it because she has so much to say. Like even on that phone call with Julius Jones's sister Antoinette or Antonia, I don't know, she was talking to her after and I was just like, what do you say to someone when it's like, okay, they're off death row but they're still in prison?
Yeah.
And she was like, we're just fighting a different fight now. And then she like immediately turned her mind to the new fight and how to like get him out and whatever.
Right.
She's just so passionate about it.
Yeah, and because when he got off death row, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't seem good.
I know. Like, I think we're both thinking the same thing here, which is like, which one
would you rather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one part where I did get really emotional was she was in the car waiting for her bar exam results.
In like a parking lot of a Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
One of the people. Anyway, she saw that she got it and she immediately broke down into tears and I cried with her. And I was like, why is this bringing up so much for me? And it's so familiar. And I just remember.
Oh, girl.
What?
I mean, you had a moment like that too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. I was like, it feels so familiar. Like, I can totally understand everything she's feeling. Like, you work so hard for writing the LSAT or getting through law school. And then you finally see that you made it when you really thought you weren't going to.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, and North was so happy for her. Everyone in the car, she's like, please read. Did it actually say pass? And her friend was like, P-A-S-S. It says pass.
So cute.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were when you found out?
Which?
Both. LSAT and gotten to school.
I was at work for my acceptances. I was at the bubble tea shop. And I remember I called my brother, and I don't call people. Mm-hmm. And I know this has always been like a point of contention with my brother and I, because he loves phone calls. And so if I call, it's usually like an emergency in his mind. So I called him and I was like, hey, what's up? Just, I don't know. You told me you wanted me to call more, so I'm checking in. And he's like, okay, how's it going? And I was like, good. I just got into fucking Osgoode Hall Law School. And he was like, oh my God.
Aww,
but yeah.
That's so cute.
I remember that. I documented my journey studying for the LSAT, and all you would see is videos of me fucking sobbing.
Oh my God.
It was a really bad time.
I hated that LSAT. Like, I wrote that bitch 3 times.
Yeah.
I did terrible every single time.
Which is so shocking to me.
I did so bad.
Because you're so brilliant. Best litigator in town.
Thanks.
Like, you're so smart. I have no idea how you did not do that well on the LSAT.
I did so bad. And I remember the third time I wrote it, which was like, if I didn't, so that was the third time, and you can only write it so many times within a 2-year period.
Yeah.
So I couldn't write it again for like another year or two after that. Mm-hmm. It was like my last hope. I like drove to Saskatoon to write it, and holy, I found shit. Out my result in a Susie Shear. And it was like, I had scored a 151, a 151, and then a 156. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You dumb bitch.
I got a 156 on my first try.
Right?
Yeah.
I could not succeed.
But here I am, dumber than you. Anyway, no. I think now that I really reflect on it, it was probably the most relatable that Kim was to me in that moment.
No,
and
like,
you know how much I idolize and love her.
Yeah.
So it was like, I felt really connected to her.
You're like, same, Kim.
Yeah. I just felt so happy for her.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell this is something real for her and genuine.
For sure. And she was basically like, if I don't get in now, I'm done. Like, this is the end of my journey. Mm-hmm. So the stakes were like extremely high. She'd obviously worked so hard.
Yeah.
And then she did it.
Yeah. And you know how people are like, oh, Kim's representing this thing that women can have it all, but of course you can when you have 16 nannies and this and that and this and that. But it's like, okay, she still managed to get those people because she worked hard.
Yeah.
And she's like using her resources appropriately to achieve things.
She literally does not have to go to law school and try to do all this prison reform work. She can just sit on her pretty pockets and just be a fashion icon or an Instagram icon or just an icon in general. She does not have to do anything good, but she's doing so much good.
Just stop hating.
Yeah.
If you had 16 nannies and all that BS and you wanted to go to law school, you would do the same thing that Kim is doing.
For sure.
So, I don't know. Like, I didn't have the best of circumstances going through law school and whatever, but I'm still happy for Kim.
Yeah. I don't understand why people can't just be happy for other people when they succeed.
Yeah. So it seems like she wants to open her own law firm and employ people who just come out of prison.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
Super cool.
My friend messaged me after and was like, so do you want to go work for her firm now together? And I was like, yes, but we need to go to prison first. I have no chance of working for her.
Okay, so that was like a big component of the episode. The only other real things that happened was Kanye picking up the kids to go to school in a fire truck.
Oh, what the fuck?
Extremely relatable.
So
that happened, and then Court's embryo didn't survive, I guess.
But they found a better follicle.
They have another follicle, yeah. And then that was kind of it.
That
right?
scene where they were waiting for the elevators after the appointment, Courtney and Travis, where he's like, just need one egg, and she's like, yeah, and then they make out. I felt like I was like watching something I wasn't supposed to be watching.
That's how I always feel when I'm looking at them.
So gross. But so she was seeing Dr. A, and I recognized Dr. A from Bling Empire. So in Bling Empire, one of the stupid rich people goes to see Dr. A because she gets IVF as well. So I think Dr. A just is for the celebs.
Well, hopefully they succeed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, get into our next show.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I've got a lot of notes for this.
So why don't you start?
Okay, so we start off at Dorit's house, and she is talking to PK about the robbery. And I just had a few further questions about the robbery.
Yeah.
So she says that the robbers were screaming at her. So they're screaming. Like, how far away are her bedroom from the kids' bedrooms? Are they in, like, a different wing? Or, like, if they're screaming, how did none of the kids wake up? Maybe they're just heavy sleepers. I don't know. Second of all, they kept showing security footage. And it's like, if you have security footage, which you probably do all throughout your house, maybe they don't want to put it out here because they don't care about the rumors, but like, they could easily dispel all the rumors. Like, look, they did have weapons. Look, this is actually what happened. But they're not showing any of it, which, not that they have to, because all these rumors, whatever, but they could easily shut them down. And that's all I have to say.
Well, you raise a good point about them screaming, because remember the Watch What Happens Live thing that I told you about?
Yeah.
She said that they were unnerved and...
Right.
But then they were anxious, and it's just like,
what is the real story?
Yeah.
It don't make sense.
Yeah. Also, if your security cameras are working, does that mean that your security system is working too?
I don't know if
they're different. Oh, but she just didn't turn it on, right?
Yeah. I'm sure the cameras are still going.
And the kids happened to sleep in a different room that night, even though they always sleep with her 100% of the time when mm-hmm. PK's gone.
Yeah. I don't know. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
So then we get to the Kyle and Rinna sit down and they start discussing Sutton's Watch What Happens Live comment about the Elton John fundraiser, mm-hmm. which is a big focus of this episode. And then right after that, they head to have Harry Hamlin's 70th birthday. Right. So they're in the car. They're in like separate cars going to this dinner. And like, so Sutton is in the car with, I think, was she with Crystal and Garcelle?
Yeah.
And she says. She's
definitely with Crystal. I don't know about Garcelle.
I just LOL'd because she was in the car and she's like, you know, I'm an empath. And
oh, yeah.
I can really feel. I'm like, you've been watching too much Sutton, TikTok, girl.
No, you're not.
And then Kyle is in driving with Dorit and PK and her Kyle's husband.
And that's when she tells Dorit.
She drops the bomb. Yeah. Uh-huh. So she tells Dorit that Sutton, about their convo right after the robbery, where Sutton's like, I've been putting out fires all day. That was really, really bad.
Good Southern accent. Real good.
So she dropped this bomb right before they go. And PK's like, I wish you didn't tell me that. I can't believe she would say something like that. She also mentioned how Sutton's like, well, I mean, I've had a crazy day, but it's not like I got held at gunpoint. And that really, really upset them. So she inflames them right before they arrive to this dinner.
Like what Christine Quinn was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I don't think I ever mentioned in the other episode, but you know that friend of the Real Housewives that I met?
Yeah.
In Atlanta? She said that the producers literally stand behind you and feed you lines.
Really?
Or like tell you what to ask and say.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Interessant. Well, it makes sense that this is so contrived because.
Drink.
Sorry. Okay, do you want to talk about Diana? But first, let's talk about this showdown between Sutton and Lisa about this dinner.
Did you just ask me a question then answer it?
Did I?
Yeah. What did do I you say? Want to talk about Diana? But first, no, let's talk about this.
I do want to talk about Diana.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just didn't articulate myself.
Yeah. So, this dinner.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I don't exactly remember how it starts, but basically Rinna brings up Sutton's Watch What Happens Live comments, and then Sutton's saying like, no, I did pay for this charity table, because Lisa's saying like, you canceled the table, we had to scramble for tickets, we ended up getting tickets at this IMDb table, and then Sutton's like, I never canceled the table, you're slandering me. And then Garcelle encourages Sutton to show the receipts. So obviously someone told Sutton, like, better have your receipts ready. Like, why?
Well, I was going to say it's interesting that Sutton actually started the conversation.
Did she?
Yeah, because when, first of all, Sutton was seated at the end of the table, according to Rinna. But then when it moved into just, like, the women's table, Sutton said something about, like, yes, and thank you very much for having us, especially me. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Lisa and I have a bit of beef. I made these comments on Watch What Happens Live.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting that she brought it up and then had the receipts. And then
had her receipts.
Yeah.
So she had like a printed piece of paper that basically said confirmation that she paid for Lisa and Harry's tickets. And like they were like $11,000 or something. And it was like confirmed. Okay, paid. But then this Diana Jenkins pipes up with what I was thinking, which was, well, I mean, you could have paid for them, but did you bail last minute? Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking as well. I'm like, this doesn't really prove anything. But then she's like, no, someone else says, no, they were both at the event. So like, obviously she didn't bail. Both Sutton and Rinna went to this event. And Rinna was like, well, that's just what I was told. I was told that you canceled last minute. And then later on Instagram that night, because Rinna had her own receipts and Kyle was like, show your receipts. And she's like, and then Diana Jenkins was like, this is so embarrassing, you guys. This is
classless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fair point. And so then but Rinna didn't show her receipts. She doesn't understand
the assignment of the show.
No, exactly. This is her first epi. So then later on Instagram, Lisa, these are all just so ratchet receipts. She posts like this printed email with this like highlighting Lisa? On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That shows that she was sitting at the IMDb table. So at this point, I just don't know who to believe.
Well, it's hilarious that Rinna was like, you canceled the table and I was left to pay. And Sutton's like, I have receipts. And then Lisa's like, this is classless. Let's drop it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, then she goes and posts her own receipts online.
But then fucking Erica is in the back like, slander.
Oh, my gosh. Slander. Wow. Where's my apology? She's
getting so hyped. Yeah. Where's my apology? Sutton's like, you're not getting one.
Yeah, she's why not?
Because I don't like you.
Oh, good. It's mutual then.
Yeah,
good.
And then she goes to give the handshake, and she's like, fuck off.
No, she said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, Erica curses at people, like, left and right, but Kyle and Dorit are never like, don't talk like that.
Yeah, like, don't talk to her this way. But
Sutton says to Erica, like, one F you, and suddenly Kyle and Dorit are like, we shouldn't talk like this, and...
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate the hypocrisy.
I hate Erica so much. Like, I literally just wanted to punch her in the face when she was adding from the peanut gallery. Like, these two women are having a conversation. It's absolutely nothing to do with Erica. And she just has to chime in and be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her so much.
But I really do love how, like, Garcelle and Sutton are bringing a totally different energy this season. Where they're, like we were talking about last week, they're more established in their place. And they are calling people out and then backing each other up. I just hope their friendship stays steady.
Yeah, I agree. So then Kyle was trying to like mediate their fight, and then I laughed out loud because eventually like they're like, okay, let's just put this behind us. And then Sutton goes to Lisa and she hugs her. She's like, I adore
you.
Oh
yeah. And Garcelle's like,
wait, okay, what the fuck are you talking about now?
Yeah, and Sutton's like, what do you mean? Don't.
She's like, you do not adore her. And I was like, this is hilarious. Like, yeah. Call her out in the exact moment.
I feel like I would be Garcelle on that show.
Yeah.
Just like, no, you don't.
Yeah, like, Kayla, now it's gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
You don't adore her.
Yeah, I can't back you up if yeah. You're going to, like, destroy your credibility.
Yeah.
So
funny.
Yeah. Crystal just wanted to go home and watch House Hunters, apparently.
Yeah, she posted it in the background.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Diana.
Who the fuck is she?
I'm a little bit obsessed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I like staring at her face. She kind of reminds me of Yolanda, though.
Yes. So this is her first episode. She's been friends with Crystal, I guess, for a couple years. And I think Rinna also knows her really well or something.
Yeah.
So she's the new housewife this year, and she was introduced in this episode. So she shows up with who I thought was her assistant.
Yeah. It's her fucking fiancé.
It's her fiancé.
That she has a kid with.
Yeah. So she's 49. He's like in his 30s, I think. Diana has like a 22-year-old kid who I think is the same age as this Asher, who's her fiance. He looks like a young surfer dude who's like so out of place. Like when he was at the men's table having the conversation, I was like, you look like a child at like the adult table.
And apparently he's in his 30s.
Yeah, he's so young. So she shows up with like all her blang, mm-hmm. all her Cartier, mm-hmm. and... she mentions that she was with Kim in Paris during the robbery. And I couldn't tell if she meant like she was there as a friend or if she was just in the same hotel.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah. She mentioned that she was there at the same time, but had left like a day early or something like that.
Hmm.
I don't know. I didn't quite follow it. Anyways, then the latter half of the episode is basically introducing her entire life. So she... is in this like really bougie house. She has a 22-year-old kid, plus she has like a 1-year-old with this Asher guy.
Yeah, and two other kids, I think. She has a daughter.
Two adult kids, yeah. And then this 1-year-old baby.
With Asher.
Yeah. And so she's telling in the confessionals basically her life story, and she's talking about how she came, I think, from Sarajevo is where she was originally born. She got out of there, like her parents I think brought her to London or something, and she was really, really broke as a joke for mm-hmm. like an entire like adolescence
yeah.
and younger years. And then she met her ex-husband
yeah
and was introduced into the lavish lifestyle. So I was so
just wonder how that happened.
I was so interested because I'm like, how does this bitch have all this money?
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled, like, this isn't any schlump. Her ex-husband is like the Barclays, president of Barclays Bank.
Oh, shit.
Like the fucking most, I don't know, biggest bank ever.
Oh, shit.
So he's
like a trillionaire, billionaire?
Oh, he's got to be, I don't even know, rich.
Damn.
Yeah. So she was married to him for I don't know how many years. And then ultimately she wanted a divorce, and he was like, okay, fine. If you want a divorce, sure. How much, like, I'll give you whatever you want. And so then he gave her $250 million in the divorce.
Oh my God.
And in the divorce settlement. And that's why she's so loaded now.
Where are these men?
Girl, you still got time.
For me.
You need to find them. Only one of us can marry rich.
She gives me like real OG housewives vibes, because she like actually has a stupid amount of money.
Yeah.
And she conducts herself like...
She's classy, and she's extremely philanthropic. So she is like this Elton John fundraiser. She's like the co-owner or founder.
She's like the biggest donor too.
Yeah, and she's been running this event forever. And I Googled it too, and she's like extremely involved in a bunch of other different charities. So she's like a very philanthropic person. It's not like she just took her money and runs with it, but also she spends her money. So she was talking about all of her houses that she has in all these different places.
Well, it's the way that she was talking about them, like it wasn't very braggy, it was casual, and like
matter
that's
of
why,
fact
that's why I think she has like true housewife vibes.
Yeah, like she recognizes that she's nouveau riche, but also she does it in a not like janky way.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain it.
I am excited to see her more on the show. But that reminds me, like, when are we going to see Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
Because she's going to be a friend of. And there's going to be drama with Rinna and Kyle and her.
I'm not sure. Maybe in the latter half.
And then Sheree is also supposed to make an appearance.
From Atlanta?
No, Will Smith's ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as a friend of.
Oh, interesting. I thought for some reason she was on Atlanta.
There is a Sheree on Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was that. And then the last part of the episode was Kyle and Sutton's conversation, which we've talked about already, but I want to talk about it again.
Okay.
So at the very end of the episode, Kyle and Sutton, I don't know where they are, but Kyle raises that she thought that Sutton was very insensitive in the discussion that they had right after Dorit's robbery. And Kyle in her confessionals was like, I don't understand, like Sutton's on a different planet, she's not listening to me. And the entire way the conversation was edited, I was like, what is going on here? Because it seemed like the things that Sutton was saying were not in response to what Kyle was actually saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, from this editing, it does look like she's on a different planet, but like, what are they actually talking about? So Kyle was saying that she was upset that Sutton seemed, her comments seemed to come across quite insensitive, about saying like, well, I didn't have a gun to my head, like saying something in such a laissez-faire manner. And Sutton was trying to defend herself by saying like, look, I think what she was trying to say was like, I'm comfortable with these type of topics, that when I said something like that, it didn't have the gravity in my mind as it did in your mind, because I'm very comfortable talking about guns, I'm comfortable talking about horrific things, I've gone through a robbery, my dad committed suicide.
Yeah.
So I think that's what she was trying to say. And then Kyle, like, it just was not connecting.
I think that's because Sutton is just like so over Kyle's shit and can see through her that she doesn't even bother.
Yeah.
Because like,
it seemed like that. I think it's unbothered.
Just, I think it's so rich that Kyle, again, well, I said this on the last episode, wants people to react to this thing about Dorit, and then was so cold towards Lisa Vanderpump when her brother committed suicide.
Right, that's the piece I'm missing.
But I think, like, Kyle just tries so hard to get other people to feel and react to things the way that she does, and it's just getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
But I do know what you were saying about Sutton, like, could have showed more empathy.
Well, yeah, so when we were talking about it after, because I was like, what is this conversation between Kyle and Sutton at the end, like, what is happening here? And so we had a back and forth on text about it, because I could understand where Kyle was coming from. Like, her comments in that moment did come across somewhat flippant without understanding where she was coming from. And then I also understood what you were saying, which was like, Kyle is just thinking everyone has to react the same way, and if they don't, they're somewhat of a bad person. And I was like, hey, I understand that if from Sutton's perspective, if you've gone through this trauma, it's not like the gravity of it, the way you talk about it may not be the same as other people because they haven't been in a similar situation. I get that. At the same time, you can also be like, look, this is why I had that reaction. Of course, I understand that she went through a horrific thing, and I can relate to that. And so I do have empathy for that. But she wasn't saying that in that conversation.
That was the missing piece for sure. I do agree with you about that.
Yeah.
But I was saying to you on on our text, like, I am team Sutton, and I think I'm just over Kyle the same way Sutton is.
Yeah, and so I understand what you're saying, that it, in that moment, in that conversation, if she was sick of Kyle's shit, it's like, I'm not even going to warrant this with the response, because you should know that, of course, I felt that way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're trying to paint me in this picture that I'm some insensitive woman who doesn't give a shit about her friends is just, like, beyond.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of the dynamic of the conversation.
Yeah.
When you look at it from that lens, it starts making a bit more sense. Without that context, it does look like Sutton is
I think if I was in Sutton's position, like, something that would probably be making me have resentment towards Kyle and not really wanting to deal with her shit is, like, when she was at the dinner and Erica was coming at her and she felt like no one was sticking up for her. And Kyle is on Erica's side. So Sutton's kind of just like, who are you
yeah.
to say shit?
Totally.
Like, you want me to react to this? Where were you when I was going through something?
Yeah, when I was being attacked in yeah. front of everybody and no one was sticking up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think Sutton just didn't have her, like, on camera face, like, thinking about the publicity and stuff, where she's like, I should save it here. She was just like, fuck this.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like this drama is going to keep trickling on from mm-hmm. this episode. I'm interested because in the Best of Bravo, where someone posted a clip of, like, Crystal getting really upset at Kyle.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so it was like they were at this little sit-down couch and Crystal was saying something, and then I think Kyle maybe cut her off or something, and then she's like, yeah, because my feelings and my perspective does not matter at all to you.
Yes, Crystal.
So I'm really interested to see what that
conversation I'm gonna end up binging the season again.
Yeah,
because I really don't like waiting weeks in between.
I know.
And I like to see it all unfold, like, one after the other.
Yeah, I agree. It is a better way to watch.
But I am really curious to see that, but also how the drama between Kathy, Rena, and Kyle comes about.
I know. I think it's going to be an awesome season. There's so many different little spats going on.
And Garcelle and Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the energy that Garcelle and Sutton are bringing thus far, and I think it sounds like Crystal's going to be bringing the same energy. I love it.
Like, it's very clear that Garcelle, Sutton, and Chris are like, I don't need this show.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pastime. You guys need me. Whereas, like, this is Erica's bread and butter. Same with Rinna.
Yeah, it's all they have.
And same with Kyle. And Kyle does the same thing after every season. She's like, I don't know if I'm returning next season. And people go into a frenzy. But, like, she says that every time.
Yeah. And then she always comes back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, your Monday matinee version of Pop Therapy.
So, see you next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We actually will be back next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, see you, bye.
Bye.